Hello and welcome to my session where I'll be talking about a multidisciplinary study on the characteristics of soil health on Colombian coffee farms under the guidance of Dr. Venez and Dr. Gomez and in collaboration with Mr. Juan Hernandez Aguilera. So to start off, it's nice to frame the study. So for most of us, all we know about coffee is that we don't know unless we've had our morning cup of coffee. What we also don't know is that 25 million smallholder farmers produce most of the coffee we consume, and that drastic changes in global coffee market prices and climate trends have made it exceptionally challenging for smallholder farmers. And so what's the solution, or at least what's one of the solutions? And that's premium coffee, where sustainable and environmentally friendly practices that promote soil health can provide significant price premiums to coffee farms. So our project location was across six municipalities in the Department of Cauca, located in the south. Western part of Colombia. Farms across these municipalities either were members of the local co-op, coffee co-op, or they were non-members. Two soil samples were collected from the member farms, the co-op member farms, one from the most fertile plot as determined by, or as indicated by the farmer, and one from the least fertile plot. For the non-members, one representative soil sample was collected. The samples were sent to the Soil Health Laboratory at Cornell University, where a number of physical, chemical, and biological tests were performed. Physical indicators included wet aggregate stability, measured using a rainfall simulator, and available water capacity using pressure chambers. Biological indicators included organic matter, measured based on loss and ignition, active carbon using a potassium permanganate oxidation, soil respiration via an incubation, and soil protein extracted with a citrate buffer. Chemical indicators included pH, phosphorus, potassium, and micronutrients. The nutrients were extracted using modified Morgan. So these soil health indicators were scored using a cumulative normal distribution function, which is the derivative of a Gaussian normal distribution function and provides the probability that a member of the distribution is less or equal to that to the indicator measurement X. And so to determine the full function, parameters, which are mu and sigma, were either estimated from local condition where thresholds have not been established and thus was the case for AWC, or available water capacity, organic matter, active carbon, protein, respiration, and phosphorus. Or they were determined from existing critical values found in the literature specific to coffee. Such was the case for potassium, magnesium, zinc, manganese, and iron. Wet aggregate stability measured values were used as the scores, since it's a percent-based measurement from 0 to 100. And finally, overall soil health is computed as an unweighted arithmetic mean of individual soil health indicator scores. And these are what the soil health scoring curves look like. So you can see, note that some indicators required accounting for textural differences. Such was the case for AWC, organic matter, active carbon, and respiration. Some of them were on a more is better curve. Some of them had an optimum range, such as pH, and some of them were less was better. Manganese. So a principal component analysis is a great way to visualize patterns and describe your data. So the first principal component, which explains 34% of the total variability, is very strongly correlated to mostly biological indicators, whereas the second principal component, explains 17% of the variability, is very highly chemical-based. So the first part of our multidisciplinary study incorporates a sociological aspect where we assess the geodemographic and environmental factors that influence soil health in Colombian coffee farms and their associated perceptions. I won't spend too much time here because I encourage you to visit my poster, board number 432, but I will nevertheless report the major findings. So our findings suggest that female farmers and coffee co-op members have significantly higher soil health than their counterparts. Also that soil health was different across municipalities, possibly due to genetic differences. And that coffee farmers have reasonably correct perceptions of their soil health, and that their perception correctness is not associated with which municipality they belong to, what their gender is, but the actual condition of their soil health. Finally, our results show that farmers' perception of soil health is very highly correlated, is most associated with organic matter protein and respiration. Moving on to the second part of our study, where we're trying to assess the existence and the nature of the relationship between coffee cup quality and soil health. As you can see in this is an example of a coffee cup quality report where a certified professional cupper assesses a number of physical, granule, and sensorial attributes of coffee quality. And the scores are composited into an overall coffee quality index. So we selected 68 of the member farms where we collected data such as elevation, tree density, which is an index for shade coverage, and biodiversity, which both have shown to have a positive effect on coffee quality. And we also collected coffee cherries to be graded. And a linear regression and a correlation matrix was used to assess this relationship. So the major results show that if you look at the highest correlations and the indicators that are most important to soil health, they are actually negatively associated to coffee quality. This at first was puzzling to us, but after much deliberation, we are fairly sure that coffee could be very similar to grapevines, and that you don't necessarily want good soil health, and that additional or increasing organic matter, pH, and water holding capacity doesn't necessarily translate to better coffee quality. So yet again, you see this trade-off between quality and quantity, and a farmer needs to compromise between, you know, maximizing yields and premium coffee where they could get, significant price premiums. The third and last part of our study involves comparing different regional soil health scoring frameworks, which aligns with the NRCS task force of achieving global soil health standards. In this study, we are comparing scores specific to the Northeast, as determined by the Comprehensive Assessment of Soil Health, specific to Cornell University. We are comparing it to the Colombian coffee soil health scoring, which was developed by us, specific to Cauca, Colombia, and Western Kenya scoring functions developed by Mobius Klun et al. In 2010. And you can see that for these indicators, they do have different scoring functions based on texture. And so we wanted to compare how similar and different they are. We also used a methodological comparison between the weighted Colombian coffee soil health, which I will explain now. So for the weighted Colombian coffee soil health scoring framework, the overall soil health was computed as a weighted mean of the individual soil health indicator scores plus texture versus using an unweighted mean. This was adapted from a study by Congress et al., where the weights were determined using a principal component analysis, and the sum of the eigenvectors of the first four principal components using Kaiser's cutoff principle were made up the weights. And so you can see the function for the unweighted, for the weighted mean. So our 223 samples were subject to three types of indicator and overall soil health scoring, as you saw in the previous slide. We used a t-test and an inter-rater reliability test to assess the similarities and differences between the different scoring schemes. An inter-rater reliability test, for those who don't know, gives you an inter-class correlation coefficient, which determines the level of agreement between the different ranking schemes. And so an ICC of 0.2 indicates poor agreement, and an ICC of 0.8 indicates an almost perfect agreement. So these are the mean comparison of scores generated by the different scoring frameworks. And as you can see, that although sometimes, in some instances, the t-test reports significant differences between the scoring frameworks, the ICC proves otherwise, testifying that the differences detected by the t-test are not that significant in terms of rating, considering that they all scored the indicators within the same range. Such was the case for wet aggregate stability, available water capacity, active carbon, and protein. In other instances, the results from the t-test and the inter-rater reliability test matched, and such was the case for organic matter, respiration, and pH and phosphorus. But most importantly, when you look at the overall soil health score, you see that there is actually an agreement between the different scoring function. And so you could say that, you know, our attempt of achieving global soil health standards is possible. Finally, given the financial resource and the logistical constraints of smallholder farming in Colombia, we were interested in developing a simplified and less expensive version of our soil health assessment using a best subset regression. A best subset regression is a test that it offers a gateway of predicting overall soil health without having to measure all indicators. So it gives you which indicator or sets of indicators are best at predicting overall soil health. And results show that active carbon followed by organic matter are the best single predictors of overall soil health, having a pretty high percentage of explanation of variability. When you add other indicators such as protein, respiration, phosphorus, and potassium, you get additional predictability up to 0.8% or 80%. And so the findings of this is really important, especially for active carbon, being able to predict soil health fairly well, is that active carbon is a fairly easy and an inexpensive test that could be measured in the field. All you need is potassium permanganate and a spectrophotometer that's about $500, and it's an in-field measurement. And so that's great. That's a great alternative for these farmers when given all the constraints they have. With that, I'd like to conclude by acknowledging my funding source, the NSF Graduate Research Fellowship Program, and thank you so much for your attention. The question was whether, considering the negative correlations, what would be the correct practices that we would advocate for, correct? So the correlations we found was between coffee quality, the cup quality, and soil health. And that's, you know, similar to wine production. And so there is this trade-off between maximum, because in coffee production, a lot of the soils are very acidic, and so to have better yields, you have to lime. But that's not necessarily good for the cup quality, but it's good for the plant. There exists this trade-off, the optimum model would be to assess how to maximize both. And I think that's a great it's a future study that could be used. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like how you showed that active carbon was like the most significant test of soil health. Mm-hmm. I think I missed the explanation of how you found that it was the most significant test.
So the test is it's a best subset regression, it's a sort of backward and forward regression where it tells you which of your explanatory variables have the highest predictive power of your independent variable, of your dependent variable. Excuse me.